You're now listening to the Hot Take Podcast with Stephen Blake, your source for everything fantasy football. Here are your hosts, Stephen Taroni of Fantrax HQ and Blake Sullivan of Roto Baller.
Welcome in to another episode of the Hot Take Podcast. Going to get you going today for your playoff slate in the NFL. Little DFS action because fantasy football never stops. My name is Stephen Taroni, the fantasy professor, and joined by me, as always, is Blake Sullivan. What's going on, Blake? Back from vacation.
Yeah, back from vacation. Took the week off, recharged. You know, got all the feelings out about not making the playoffs. Now it's time for some DFS, though. We're going to get into it. Win everybody some money, hopefully win ourselves some money, too. And have a good end of the year, you know, get ready for the draft.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, we both have actually had pretty good seasons, I would say. You know, most of the time, I feel like we're sharing lineups and one of us is winning something in these NFL slates. Now that you're back from the Cayman Islands, I think that we can talk some football here. Let's get right into it. Colts and Texans, 48-point over-under. So it's an implied high-scoring game. And I will say that in, you know, the first game between these two teams this season, it was actually a very high-scoring game in Indianapolis, 37-34. But in Houston, where this game is going to be, it was 24-21. So I think what that says is that the Texans want to run the ball a little bit more. And, you know, if it's in Indianapolis, you can expect, like, more of a shootout type game. So if we look at that last game with the Colts and Texans, it seems that in Houston, their defense is going to play a little bit better. You know, that defensive front has been on fire. So it's something to consider. And Andrew Luck has been one of the most protected quarterbacks in the league, rarely getting sacked. So this is going to be a great matchup. Blake, what are you looking at in this matchup? I mean, obviously, Deshaun Watson and D-Hop is chalky. I mean, do you got to play those guys, or are you looking more at the Colts side offensively?
Yeah, I don't think you have to play those guys. There's definitely some things I'm looking at. I really like, on the Colts side, Marlon Mack. He's looked pretty good the last few days. Not a great matchup for him, but I'm hoping that's going to lower his ownership some. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be a running game. I don't expect it to be a shootout like the last one. Obviously, with Andrew Luck, they're going to pass the ball plenty. He's a great option in DFS this week. I still like him because they're going to throw the ball a lot. All the running backs there can catch. He's got Eric Ebron and T.Y. Hilton. Hopefully, Hilton's going to be full go this week. So Andrew Luck's still a good play, but I don't think I'm going to be playing Deshaun Watson this week or Hopkins. Hopkins is just a little bit too expensive over the rest of the guys. I think he still has a good game. But unless you're really confident in a value running back, I don't think it's going to be a great play.
Yeah, so it's interesting because, you know, T.Y. Hilton hasn't practiced all week. And I actually read today that he wouldn't have played in the past couple of games if the games weren't so important. So he's going to play. I mean, it's the playoffs. He didn't practice all week, but he doesn't have to. He's going to play. And we know that he torches the Texans. 9 for 199 in the first meeting, and then 4 for 115 a few weeks ago. So, you know, T.Y. Hilton is about $1,000 cheaper on DraftKings. Would you be more inclined to go with T.Y. than D-Hop, or are you fading both and going for cheaper options?
Yeah, I think I personally am going to fade both. But if I was going to make the investment to go to T.Y. Hilton, I think I would just pay up the extra to take Hopkins. I think there's more touchdown upside there. Mm. You don't see T.Y. getting in the end zone very often, and Hopkins definitely has the ability to do that two or three times in a game. And if you get one of those crazy games where he does that, you're probably going to be in the money.
I like it, man. Yeah, and, you know, the Texans have been very vulnerable to wide receivers this season. So one guy that I'm looking at is Dontrell Inman. He is the wide receiver two now for the Colts. He has passed Chester Rogers and Ryan Grant on the depth chart. He's getting the majority of the snaps. 4 for 46 2 weeks ago and a touchdown, and then 5 for 77 and a touchdown. He's only 4,300 on DraftKings. I think he's great value this week.
Yeah, he's definitely a good play. If he can get the volume, I'm worried a little bit about the volume. I don't know if he'll get it, but yeah, he's been averaging about 4 receptions a game. So if he can continue getting those targets every game, he's definitely got a good upside. He's not going to be the primary worry. Yeah. That's the nice thing in his case. The Texans are going to be focused on T.Y. Hilton, and they have to treat Eric Ebron like a wide receiver as well. So they're going to have to be bringing help on him sometimes. Could leave Inman open quite a bit.
Yeah, speaking of Ebron, you know, a touchdown in each of the games against the Texans this year, I can see him getting another touchdown. I think he's a great play. You know, if you're looking at the tight end position this week, it's Ertz. And it's Ebron, and then it's a bunch of cheaper options. So, you know, I think Ebron is a great play. I just think that his percentage is going to, or his ownership is going to be very high. Are you going to be putting Ebron in a couple lineups?
I think you have to put him in one lineup just in case he has one of those 15 to 20 point games like he can have.
Yeah.
But he can also have those 0 to 5 point games. So, I don't want him in very many of my lineups, but I think he's definitely somebody that you have to have at least one share of this week because of his upside. If you put it in one of those GPP, you know, put it in a cheap GPP where you have high prize pool.
Yeah,
I really like him in one of those situations where he could win you a lot of money. But if I'm going for more cash plays, I'm definitely going to be fading Ebron there.
You know, this game is the only one to me that can potentially be a very high scoring game. You know, maybe Dallas and Seattle, but, you know, they both want to run the ball, both of those teams. You know, Ravens, Chargers, we saw what happened last time with those teams. And then the Ravens, of course, kind of control the clock. And then you got the Bears and Eagles. So it's like this game to me jumps out as the one that's going to have the most points. So I want, you know, a lot of pieces of this game. And I think Lamar Miller is a great option with 4,900 on DraftKings. You know, he's getting 80% of the snaps right now for the Texans at the running back. They want to go with Lamar Miller right now. You know, they do work in out for Blue, and Deontay Foreman now is back. I think that Deontay Foreman is actually going to get some run, but the value there for Lamar Miller is obvious, 4,900. So I think that, you know, you want a couple pieces of this game. Kiki Kuti looks like he's going to play. He practiced in full all week. He's 4,000 on DraftKings, and, you know, while the Colts have been good against the receiver, we know that Kiki plays in the slot, and Deshaun Watson looks for those, you know, underneath passes a lot. I think Kuti could be a nice steal if he plays with a probably low ownership.
Yeah, I think he would definitely be low ownership with his injury concerns, but, man, he only needs a couple passes to have a big game, kind of like T.Y. Hilton. He's the cheap T.Y. Hilton this week is the way I'm going to be looking at him. He's somebody I'm looking to flex more than anything, but definitely another one of those guys for a GPP play.
Cowboys and Seahawks, it's a 43.5 over-under. Game's going to be in Dallas Saturday night. We were both looking at these prices for DraftKings at these quarterbacks. Dak Prescott, 5,500. Russell Wilson, 5,700. Between the two, which one are you leaning towards?
I'm personally going to take Dak just because I think he's got a little bit more upside with those receivers there. You know, Zeke's going to run the ball, but Chris Carson's going to run the ball too and take away from Russ. I think Zeke actually helps Dak more in the pass game than any of the running backs in Seattle do for Russell Wilson. So that's just more added upside for me. And if you look at, you know, the last couple of weeks, Dak's been a very solid, steady play. I don't think anything is going to change this week. And I'm personally looking to slam that over. I don't think it's going to be going under 43 points. I still think that that first game might be a little bit higher scoring than the Dallas game, but I'm looking for that game to go over 43 points for sure.
Yeah, you know, where Zeke can help Dak is in the passing game because 4 catches, 6, 7, 5, 6, 12, 7, and 5 – in his last 7 weeks. I mean, you know, and one of those can break for a long one, you know, 12 for 79, 6 for 60. This is receiving stats for Ezekiel Elliott. So that just helps Dak Prescott's, you know, baseline. And he's always, you know, a high threat for that rushing touchdown. I think you're right. I think it's going to be more of a defensive struggle. Both teams want to run the ball. But that definitely plays into Dak Prescott's narrative there. If anything, I could see, you know, the Cowboys potentially getting up, you know, in the game, and then, you know, at the end of the game, Wilson has to pass a little bit more. And we know that Wilson in the clutch will get you those two touchdowns in the second half. So I think both of these, you know, guys are up for grabs because, you know, the price isn't going to kill you if you wanted to pay down from Andrew Luck or a Deshaun Watson. I think those are both good plays. Zeke, obviously, 9,000. You know, he's the most expensive player this week. I think he's worth it. I think you want to play him if you can get him in. I think there's a lot of value in other positions if you want to play Zeke. But Chris Carson, that's great value at 6,800 on DraftKings. Are you going to be looking to play Chris Carson? Is he kind of chalky for you this week?
No, I actually like Chris Carson quite a bit. I think he is kind of chalky, but I think part of that's just because he's been so solid. They've been able to figure out a price that works for him, you know, the price that gets his ownership at a decent level, but it's not too high, not too low. And he's probably going to put up another 15 to 20 points just like he has every week. And I'm perfectly fine with that. I need a guy in my lineup that I can trust to get me some points. He should score at least once. So I'm having no problem paying $6,800 for Chris Carson this week. And he's probably going to be in all of my lineups.
Yeah, you know, the volume is just ridiculous. And then over 100 yards in the last 3 weeks and four touchdowns in those three games. You know, so he's playing really great. That $6,800 is pretty cheap for him, you know. At one point, you know, just 3 weeks ago, he was 4,700 on DraftKings. So he's shot up to 6,800. I still think that's great value this week when he's getting that kind of volume. So love Chris Carson. Kind of, I'm fading Amari. I got to be honest. If I want to play a Cowboys receiver, it's probably going to be Cole Beasley or Michael Gallup just because they're so cheap.
Yeah, I'm loving Michael Gallup this week. He's going to be a huge play. You know, something to think about, these last 2 weeks, even though they haven't been playing head-to-head, Dallas and Seattle have combined for 63 and 65 points these last 2 weeks. You know, even though they had pretty favorable matchups on offense,
right,
it's still something to consider. That's 20 plus points over this total. So I think Vegas has it set right. Obviously, this is going to be a tougher matchup, and it's the playoffs. So it might be a little more conservative, but
yeah.
When I see that, I'm immediately thinking, okay, I want these quarterbacks, and I want at least a wide receiver or running back from one of these teams. So that, I think this is the game where your stack is going to come from.
I like it. I like it. So you're thinking the stack here as opposed to the Texans and the Colts to kind of be kind of contrarian, and then at the same time, I mean, this could be a huge game on a Saturday night in a primetime matchup.
Yeah, that's the way I'm seeing it. You know, I like bits and pieces of that Colts-Texans game. Like, I like Andrew Luck, but I don't know that I trust either of those receivers enough. When I'm looking down here in this Dallas-Seattle game, I just feel comfortable with these guys that, you know, I can trust that they're going to get the volume, they're going to get some yards, find the end zone. And these other games just have too many question marks for me, but I think that's where I'm going to fill in, you know, my flex positions and my sleepers, some things like that.
Anybody else from the Seahawks that you're looking at as a as good value this week?
You know, I don't really see a whole lot else in the Seahawks game. Tyler Lockett's always a good play just because he can break out. But I feel like he's going to be pretty high owned at 5,300. That's a pretty good price that you could get him at. So I feel like his ownership's going to be a little too high for me.
What about David Moore? My
David
guy.
Moore is definitely a sleeper play, but hey, I mean, he's very talented. He's had a few good weeks this year. It would be only fitting if he had a huge week in the playoffs this first week.
Yeah, you know, he's good for, you know, that bomb or the jump ball in the end zone. It could certainly happen, and there's been so many plays this year where, you know, he's been just like a foot out of bounds or something, and then, you know, you look at the stat sheet, and he had zero catches, but that one catch would have done it all. So David Moore is interesting. I think it's a risk. For around the same price, I would probably go Cole Beasley or Michael Gallup. I think Cole Beasley is a great play this week. You know, I really like that perspective. And I think, you know, once we go to our main slate lineups at the end, I think we're going to see a lot of Cowboys and Seahawks in those lineups. But let's move on to the Ravens and Chargers. 42-point over-under. Obviously, these two teams played a couple weeks ago, and you know, it hit the under, obviously, and the Ravens controlled the game. I mean, and this was in Los Angeles, so now we're talking about in Baltimore, home game for the Ravens. That stadium is going to be absolutely wild. I don't know who that favors more, because, you know, you go in Los Angeles and, like, you got like a stale crowd for the Chargers that don't really show up for their team. And then you get a Ravens, you know, atmosphere in Baltimore. Maybe Phillip Rivers shows up. Lamar Jackson, 5,800 on DraftKings, and then Phillip Rivers, 5,900. Between the two, are you just going to lean Lamar because of that home game?
I think the main thing for me is I'm looking at the matchup. I would lean Lamar. Phillip Rivers is going to have a lot of pressure on him this whole game from that Ravens defense.
Yeah, that number one ranked defense.
Right, they're amazing. And I think that's going to mean they're going to be giving the ball off to Melvin Gordon a lot. When that blitz is coming, you know, they're going to have to get the ball out soon. That's going to mean running the ball a lot. And I don't know if he's standing back there in the pocket, if he's going to be able to get away from that pressure. He's not that kind of guy like Lamar Jackson that can get away from pressure. And when I look at the matchup for Lamar Jackson, he should be able to run some in this game. He's been very solid over the last few weeks. And the nice thing I like about Lamar is usually I'm trying to have a stack, you know, with a quarterback with wide receivers.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson doesn't have to have that. He doesn't throw enough that you really have to have somebody like that. So if you want to pay up for Amari Cooper and DeAndre Hopkins, you can do that and still take Lamar Jackson and use his rushing yards to benefit you.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, last game, only 39 rushing yards against the Chargers. So that was like, you know, a very low output for him, and the lowest output in the game that he started this year from the rushing yards. But, you know, career high, season high, 204 passing yards against the Chargers. So that was an interesting game. He definitely was in a position where he had to pass more. I think the Chargers obviously recognized that he can run, so they were locking that up. But when they locked that up, they allowed Gus Edwards to get 92 yards rushing. And he's only $4,200 on DraftKings. 92 rushing yards in L.A. I think he's a great play this week to get over 100 rushing yards in Baltimore. 4,200 on DraftKings, I think that's a steal. Are you playing Gus a lot, Blake, or are you kind of fading that? You know, I'm not sure about his ownership. I think that, you know, I think people are going to fade him.
Yeah, I don't know. He's kind of in that weird spot where you don't know what his ownership's going to be like. You know, usually you can kind of predict based on their price what you're thinking. There's actually somebody, though, that's not Gus Edwards but still on that lineup that I actually think I'm going to be playing over Gus Edwards, and that's going to be Kenneth Dixon.
Mm.
He's only 4,000. He's only 200 cheaper, but it lets me pay up at some other positions where that $200 really started counting for me. And I'm looking at Kenneth Dixon against the Chargers. He didn't do a whole lot. He only had 48 yards. But I think that he can have that big game. Last week he had 15.9 points, 117 yards, albeit against Cleveland. So it was a easy rushing day. So maybe you don't want to do that, but he could be a huge pivot when other people go towards Gus Edwards. If something happens to Gus Edwards or he's just not getting the job done, Kenneth Dixon could come in and have a huge game.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, 12 for 117 last week. Definitely being used more, and he could certainly have a good game. I like that play. I think, you know, both of those guys are in play, and I don't think the ownership is going to be high. We know that the Ravens want to run the ball, so, you know, using multiple backs isn't a crazy thing to do in this slate. Are we looking at any Ravens wideouts, or are we just getting Mark Andrews?
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody that I would really want. I don't know if there's anybody that you can really trust. Maybe John Brown is your only option there that you could really trust, but just hasn't been getting the job done lately, especially with Lamar Jackson back there. You know, he's only had at least two receptions since week nine. He hasn't had more than two receptions since week nine. You just can't do that if you're trying to win a matchup. And for his price at 3,700, there's other guys that are lower than him that you could trust. Just not liking it that much.
Melvin Gordon is worrying me, and I think his price is great. I think we have to look at that price on DraftKings, at least at 7,700. You know, the lowest it's been all year, or one of the lowest prices it's been all year for Melvin Gordon. But the problem is, you know, only 10 carries last game, 12 carries the game before that. He's obviously still a little banged up. They're, you know, they don't want him to go too hard with that workload, and they're able to, you know, give the ball to Justin Jackson occasionally. Are you staying away from Melvin Gordon? I mean, he did get the touchdown against the Ravens in their first meeting. Or do you think that he can have a great game?
Well, it's kind of both for me, honestly. I think that they pretty much just buried him the last couple of weeks. There's no real need for him to go out and get them their spot. You know, they could rely on Justin Jackson to do just fine. But so I think he's going to get closer to that 18 to 20 carry mark that we've seen him most of the season.
Yeah.
But you have to think about something, though. If they get behind early in the game, number one, they're going to be more inclined to have Justin Jackson in there and, you know, pass the ball more and not have Melvin Gordon on the field as much. And then you also have to think that what if they get a huge lead early on at Baltimore, and that Chargers defense is pretty good. You know, they're not going to let Lamar Jackson throw the ball over the field. So if Baltimore is having to run to try to keep up with them, which they will do, that's their game plan. That's going to be running a lot of clock. And I don't know that Melvin Gordon's going to have to stay in the game. They could just keep Justin Jackson in the game. That way Melvin Gordon would get more fresh for next week. So that's also something to think about, even though I think his touchdown upside is there, and that's very appealing.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'd rather pay up for Zeke, though, if I'm going to pay for one of those guys, right? Like, that's exactly how I'm looking at it. And I think we're on the same page there for sure, because, you know, you got Chris Carson at 6,800, who I'd rather have. Yeah, I think they could have the same sort of output, and if not, Carson could certainly exceed Melvin Gordon's output. So there's just a lot of value at the running back this week. And I think that Melvin Gordon is kind of in that no man's land at a price point against a really tough Ravens defense. You know, you mentioned if they're down in the game. You know, I do like Melvin Gordon in the passing game. And I think that the only way that they're going to beat the Ravens is if they beat them at their own game, and they have to control the clock. The Chargers just need to control the clock. So if they can, like, you know, all for nothing, let's just put Gordon out there and make him our workhorse again. If he's fresh enough to do it, if he's healthy enough to do it, I think that would benefit them the most, you know. But it's going to be tough, man, you know, the way the Ravens play.
Yeah, I definitely like the under 42 in this game. I think it's going to be a lot of running on both sides, like you said. I don't know who's going to necessarily be running. There's a lot of options on each team, which is great for them. Yeah. They can keep people fresh. But, yeah, I definitely think that they're going to be trying to beat each other at their own games, play with defense and the running backs.
For sure. Yeah, let's move on to the Bears and Eagles, 41-point over-under. And Mitch Trubisky jumps out to me at that 6,200 on DraftKings. Is that too expensive, or am I not seeing that right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that it's necessarily too expensive, but with the other options, you know, Andrew Luck's only 200 more. Lamar Jackson's right. 400 less. You have Dak, who's 700 less. There's a lot of options I think are a little bit cheaper or only slightly more expensive than Mitch Trubisky. And I don't know that this is going to be a high-scoring game. When you look at what Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen can do from the ground, I think that's a great way to beat Philadelphia this week. And also Philly on the other side of the ball is going to probably try to run some too. They're not going to want Nick Foles back there getting beat up all day long by Khalil Mack.
Yeah, it's a good point. And all the options for the Eagles in the running game are very cheap. I think Josh Adams is something like 3,600. You know, that kind of, yeah, 3,600 for Josh Adams. Last week, 11 carries for 50 yards. So I think Josh Adams it could be a great play. But, you know, obviously in Chicago, you know, it's going to be tough sledding for sure. So I'm probably fading, you know, the Eagles running backs. Jordan Howard, though, 4,600. You know, no matter what Jordan Howard does right now, he's going to be low priced and he's going to be low owned. No one wants to start Jordan Howard, but four TDs in the last three games in a game where they're favored to win by a touchdown. I think Jordan Howard is a great play this week.
Yeah, definitely. I think they're going to be playing somewhat conservative. Obviously, Tariq Cohen's going to be your guy that they're going to try to get into space, get him to move right. The ball up the field. But as soon as they get inside the 20, they're just going to be feeding Jordan Howard, trying to get him in the end zone. I don't expect them to throw a whole lot in the end zone. I think Trey Burton has that good red zone upside. But But man, Jordan Howard has just been so consistent the last 4 weeks, and that's a great price at 4,600 on DraftKings. Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit risky, maybe. We've seen the games that he's had that have been duds, but this game script just really screams Jordan Howard to me. And then you look at the Philadelphia side. When I was scrolling through the prices, I saw Josh Adams at 3,600, and I thought, man, why is he so cheap? You know, I think it's just because they have all three of those backs now with Darren Sproles back. Yeah. And then you got Smallwood, who's questionable for this game. But even if there's only the two of them, it makes me a little bit nervous to play either because I don't know who's going to have the big game. I honestly kind of lean Darren Sproles just because he has that big play potential. But, but man, I don't know. Josh Adams has really great value this week. He would make a good flex.
Yeah, 3,600. I mean, if you want to pay up, there is your cheap option right there at the running back position. You know, also, I want to just throw out, going back to that Texans-Colts game, now that I'm looking at these cheap running backs, Nyheim Hines, 3,500. I mean, he's a risky play, but, you know, early in the season, he had 9 catches against the Texans, and he scored 2 touchdowns. Obviously, Marlon Mack was banged up at that point. So, you know, just look at these cheap running backs. But going back to this, I like an option for the Bears at wide receiver. I just don't know which one because the Eagles' secondary is so banged up and they give up huge points to the wide receiver. Which one do you start? Or do you just start Trey Burton?
Oh, man. I think it's really tough. You know, there's a lot of guys that are good quality receivers on that team. Anthony Miller is a guy that has fallen down in price just because he hasn't produced that much lately.
Right.
But he had a great stretch of games there in the middle of the season. He's a guy that if they can get him open in space, could have a huge game as well, kind of like that Tariq Cohen. But I think Taylor Gabriel is probably going to be the highest owned this week. He's been the most consistent. He has a lot of upside as well. His price is higher than it's been almost all year, though. So I personally am going to be fading Taylor Gabriel. But if I were to pick any wide receiver out of these guys, I would probably go with Anthony Miller for the value, or I would pay up for Allen Robinson at 5,600.
Yeah, I think 5,600 is a great price for Allen Robinson. And I don't think that he's going to be very high owned. When, you know, when you look at this, you know, you got Mitch Trubisky at 6,200. Well, he's 6,200 for a reason, and that's because the Eagles' defense isn't good. And if anyone's going to benefit from it, it will be Allen Robinson. You know, that could be a nice play. You know, instead of going T.Y. Hilton or DeAndre Hopkins, you just go Allen Robinson. And then on the other side of the ball, we have Alshon Jeffrey playing his former team, 5,900. You know, we know Foles likes to target him, but of course the Bears are very good against the wide receiver. Alshon, between the two, I might play Allen Robinson over Alshon. But a more interesting price to me is Nelson Aguilar at 3,800.
Yes, this is the steal that's going to win you a GPP. Absolutely love Nelson Aguilar this week.
Yeah, I mean, the matchup obviously is terrible, and, you know, that's why he's so low. I mean, like, after these two huge games, which he's had, if he was playing, like, the Buccaneers or something, his price would be, like, you know, probably, like, 4,500 at least. I'm thinking around 4,500. But, you know, the last two games, 5 receptions, 40 yards, 2 touchdowns, 5 receptions, 116 yards, 1 touchdown. So he's being used a lot more. Obviously, you know, Foles has been the guy, and he spreads the ball. He looks for a lot of different options. You know, he examines the field probably better than Carson Wentz. I hate to say it. But, you know, so Nelson Aguilar, yeah, I'm with you, Blake. I think low ownership, cheap price. Why not put him in the wide receiver spot so you can pay up at other positions?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to be doing. I'm loving Nelson Aguilar this week. And, you know, I think Alshon Jeffrey is a good play too, but I don't think he's worth 2,100 more than Aguilar when you've seen what Aguilar's been doing the last couple of weeks.
Well, if we learned anything from last night in the NBA slate, the revenge narrative doesn't always pay off, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, speaking of which, you know, we kind of have a similar situation. So last night, you know, it was between Kawhi Leonard and DeMar DeRozan in basketball. So now we got Alshon Jeffrey playing his former team and then Trey Burton also playing his former team. But Trey Burton is at home.
Yeah, that's what we figured out works. You have to take the home team.
Exactly. So 4,400 on DraftKings, I think that's a great price for Burton. I'm definitely liking him in the tight end slot. You know, when you got, you know, it's interesting. You know, these prices with tight ends are like kind of, you know, it's like the high one with Ertz, and then it goes progressively lower. And then Burton is right in the middle there. I like Trey Burton this week. I think he's probably going to be my tight end that I'm playing in most places. Blake, do you have a lineup ready? Because I am going to get a lineup ready real quick.
Yeah, I have a lineup ready. I can go ahead and talk about it if you want to go ahead and make yours. All right, so I'm personally going to be going with the Dallas Cowboys stack this week. I just think their matchup's the best against Seattle Seahawks. I think the Seahawks can put up points on the board too against Dallas, so it's going to keep the game somewhat competitive. So this is a game where I'm really loading up. I'm going to start out at quarterback with Dak Prescott at 5,500. I think he's just kind of that middle of the pack to the bottom of the pack as far as pricing goes. I don't think it's worth paying up to get Andrew Luck or Deshaun Watson, but yet I don't really feel comfortable paying down to get Nick Foles as the cheaper option. And then at the running back positions, obviously I'm going to stack Ezekiel Elliott with Dak Prescott. You're guaranteed points from one of those guys or both of those guys. Hopefully Zeke can get a few catches in this game on Saturday in prime time. I'll help Dak Prescott and Zeke get him into the end zone, hopefully. And then Chris Carson already said he's going to be in all my lineups this week at 6,800. I think he's a good price. He's going to put up 15 to 20 points, so you're not going to have to worry too much about having a dud game from one of your running backs. And then I'm going to go with the value at the wide receiver position this week. I think that's where I'm going to find most of it. I've got Nelson Aguilar, just talked about him. He's got huge play potential, high upside. Only 3,800. He has a great return on investment this week. And then I have Amari Cooper right now. I'm not sure if I'll stay with Amari Cooper. I might go with a cheaper option, but I think I'm going to stay with Amari Cooper this week. He's just been getting the job done. In the last couple of weeks, he hasn't done as much just because of kind of the situation they're in. They've been feeding Zeke a little bit more. But I think that he's going to break out and have a huge game against Seattle at home. And then I'm going with another Dallas wide receiver. This is a huge stack having four Dallas guys this week. I'm going to go with Michael Gallup, but he has played great the last couple of weeks when Cooper hasn't played as well. And he's only 3,600, so I think I'm going to get points from either of these guys. One of these guys is going to get me points no matter what, or they're going to be kind of evenly matched, have mediocre games. But I'm fine with that at the value I get Gallup. And, you know, the nice thing is if this does turn into a high-scoring game, I think I can get great points from both of those guys, and that's where I'm really going to benefit. And then I'm paying up. It's a tight end position. There's great options like Trey Burton. You know, you can go really cheap with Blake Jarwin if you want, but I'm thinking Blake Jarwin is going to be very high-owned this week. After last week, even though it's a bad matchup, I think people are going to kind of jump on that bandwagon so they can pay up for, you know, a Hopkins or somebody like that.
Yeah,
but I'm personally going to take Zach Ertz. He has been very consistent all year. This is a great matchup. I think it's a great matchup for him, actually. You know, it doesn't seem that good on paper, but they're going to need somebody in the middle of the field when that Bears pass rush comes in to dump the ball off to, and that's going to be Zach Ertz. And then for my flex position, I'm going to go with Kenneth Dixon. I think this is pretty risky play, to be honest with you, but you know, he's got the upside, and if this game does just keep going into this running format that we're expecting, and if something happens to Gus Edwards or if he's inefficient, Kenneth Dixon's going to be that guy to step in. He should get some carries. And, you know, I like him to get a touchdown this week. So that's going to be my flex. And then the last thing I'm going to go with is the Bears defense. It makes me a little bit nervous starting Aguilar and Ertz against the Bears defense. I might look at other options than that. I might be looking to the Baltimore Ravens defense is where I think I'm actually going to change that to. I think they're going to be able to sack Phillip Rivers quite a bit. But, you know, right now I just have them in there because they've been so solid all year going against a backup quarterback, even though Nick Foles I think might be better than Carson Wentz at the moment. But it just makes me a little bit too nervous to have two guys in there going against my defense. So I'm probably going to change that to the Ravens defense, which will give me some extra money that I could pay up from Dixon if I choose to.
Yeah, it's the Ravens defense. You're definitely paying up there. But if, you know, you have a lot of value, I'm kind of meeting you with this and going kind of the other way. I'm going to go with the Chargers defense. And I'm just kind of playing the contrarian there, but I think that this is going to be a defensive game. And, you know, Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram are playing really well. We saw Casey Hayward with the pick six last week. I think they can make one play against this, you know, because what they did against Lamar Jackson, they actually wanted to make him pass more. It just didn't work out as well, you know, in the last matchup. I think they can make it work. And I think that the crowd being so, you know, energetic and into this game is actually going to play into the Chargers narrative. I'm actually seeing, you know, I'm right now I'm considering taking the Chargers. I think that they're underdogs, like +2.5. So I'm going into that narrative of playing the Chargers defense. I think, you know, this is going to be a defensive struggle any way you look at it. So going with the value there with 2,400 on DraftKings. At the flex, I'm putting Tariq Cohen at 5,400. I love playing the Bears running backs this week, and I'm playing two of them. In my other RB slot, I have Jordan Howard. I'm liking that, you know, the Chicago is going to want to control the clock. They're favored in this game. I think the defense is going to play well. And, you know, both running backs are going to be valuable. So I'm actually playing both running backs in this game. I got Cole Beasley in here at a value wide receiver slot, so I needed to save money. So I'm looking at Cole Beasley. I think Dak Prescott is going to use the slot receiver. So I'm paying up for T.Y. Hilton and DeAndre Hopkins. I think that both of these guys are going to be used a lot, both quarterbacks. If we're saying that they're going to have big games, I think that these guys are going to be responsible for that. So I got Andrew Luck at the quarterback position. Paying up a little bit there, but I'm still able to get somebody like Chris Carson, who's going to give me like 20 carries and potentially 100 yards. So at the tight end position right now, I have Trey Burton. So I'm starting three Bears in this. You know, that's kind of contrarian. I think that, you know, that's an interesting stack when you look at it. But, you know, the Bears to me right now seem to be the best defensive team. They have the home matchup, and then, you know, it's going to be a cold game. So you got to look at that as a running type of game. And that's why I got the tight end and then the two running backs for the Bears.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's going to be a really good stack there.
Yeah, you know, I don't think a lot of people are looking at that game as a stackable game, but, you know, if you're going to do it, I think the Bears side is the way to do it. Zach Ertz, you know, like you said, is obviously a great play. I mean, you know, he's one of the best tight ends in the league. He's getting the volume no matter what, and can certainly score a touchdown, and that's what you're looking for.
I switched up this real quick.
Yeah.
I pivoted to the Ravens defense, put up 20 fantasy points against the Chargers a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I dropped down from them, from the Bears, and then I paid up from Kenneth Dixon, and I got Dontrell Inman, and I still had $100 left. So really love that.
Very nice. Yeah, no, I like that. I like Inman a lot, you know, especially because, you know, T.Y., if he is, you know, hurt, which he is, we know he's hurt, they're going to have to lean a little bit on other options. And I think T.Y. is going to have, like, one big play like he always does. But, you know, when it comes to, like, you know, driving the ball up the field, they might want to look at other options and then use T.Y. sporadically. So I think Inman's a great play.
Absolutely, man.
Blake, you just typed it up on the doc. I love this, man. I think this is my favorite hot prediction that we've had on the hot take, man. So let's take us away with that.
Yeah, so I put in this hot bowl prediction. We weren't even going to do any, but, you know, we were talking about our revenge narrative, and I kind of put this in here as a joke, but – I could see it as something that Matt Nagy would dial up just to be a savage in this game if they're winning. You know, if they're up by like two touchdowns, I could see him doing something crazy like this. Trey Burton with the Philly special in this game against his team that he did it with last year in the Super Bowl. That would be hilarious. I would love to see that. I'm a Packers fan, but I'm honestly kind of rooting for the Bears right now in this postseason. I would love to see Trey Burton complete that this year.
I love it, man. That's awesome. Yeah, you know, my hot bold prediction, you know, it wouldn't be the hot take if we didn't have a hot bold prediction. But I'm going to say that the Chargers win this game. And, you know, they are obviously the underdog going into Baltimore. But I think that they're going to win one playoff game this year at least. We'll see what happens in the next matchup. But I think that they win this game and off the strength of their defense, kind of taking advantage of the rookie. I love Lamar Jackson. I think his future is bright. But the first playoff game, I think that he struggles a little bit. I'm not going to say that he doesn't have, you know, a good floor rushing, but I think he makes a couple mistakes that'll be costly in this game that he'll learn from and ultimately will be, you know, good for his career. But I think the Chargers win this game, and I think that the defense has a big play, potentially a touchdown in this game.
Yeah, I love Lamar Jackson, but I just don't know if he's going to be able to get it done this week.
We want to thank our listeners. It's been a fun year, man. This has been, you know, the first year, obviously, that we've done the Hot Take. Blake and I met on Twitter this year over the summertime and put together a show that, you know, has had, you know, mild success. And we're really excited to bring you fantasy football all year round. So we are going to be doing a show roughly every other week in the off season, you know, depending on, you know, the news of the week, we might do, you know, consecutive episodes. But once the season comes back around, we will be doing at least one show a week, maybe going back into two a week like we did last season. You know, Blake, now that I'm thinking about this, we started with the rankings debates. You know, we might as well start off the season next year with the rankings debates as well and get in some nice guests for those shows.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to go back to that. I think that was a good format. And, you know, I think that obviously we had some misses. Everybody's going to have some misses, but we definitely hit on some guys, had them in the right spots. And, you know, hopefully it helped some people win their leagues ultimately.
I mean, they say that, you know, if you're 60% right in like sports betting or fantasy, that, you know, you're doing as good as you can. If we look back at those rankings debates, I mean, we brought up a lot of guys that had big years. I think we were above that 60% range, to be honest with you, man.
Yeah, there's a lot of volume that, you know what I mean? You can only be right on so many.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah, and, you know, I'm looking forward to this offseason. We're going to get some good guests on the show. You can find us on Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever podcasts are. You can find us on FSGN.com. That's the Fantasy Sports Gaming Network. You can find us on rotoballer.com. Everybody, enjoy the playoffs. My name is Stephen Taroni. On behalf of Blake Sullivan, this has been the Hot Take Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Hot Take Podcast. Check out Fantrax HQ and Rotoballer for your fantasy sports news and analysis. Follow the guys on Twitter at Stephen_Taroni and at Blake Sullivan FF.
See ya!